And finally, the Apostolic Nuncio to Ireland, Archbishop Giuseppe Leanza, today reaffirmed the total commitment of the Holy See for its part in taking all the necessary measures to ensure the protection of children. He was speaking in Dublin following a meeting with Irish Foreign Minister Eamon Gilmore, during which Archbishop Leanza was presented with a copy of the Cloyne Report into the handling of allegations of abuse in the diocese between 1996 and 2008. Justice Minister of Ireland, Alan Shatter, has pledged to pass a new law making it an imprisonable crime to withhold knowledge of suspected child abuse. Archbishop Dermot Clifford is currently the Apostolic Administrator of the Diocese of Cloyne. He spoke to me about the measures now in place in the diocese and said that the Church in Ireland needs to learn to cherish the survivors of abuse.
I was Eston on the 7th of March by the Papal Nuncio, 2009, if I would take over the role of being Apostolic Administrator to the Diocese of Cloyne. Now, I accepted it immediately because anything I've ever been asked to do by His Holiness, they always accepted it. If I had thought things out a bit better, I could have made a lot of excuses, but that was my way of life always, so I took it on, even though I knew it would be a difficult role to take. So when I got there, I decided that we must now, you know, reverse all the misjudgments of the past and get down to put in place the real requirements to which Bishop McGee and all the bishops signed up in 1996. So we already progress had been made, because after the Elliott report that came out, Bishop McGee himself and Ian Elliott, who brought it out. Ian Elliott became the advisory committee. In fact, he had a huge role in running the child safeguarding strategies. And things were coming along well. And the four priests were sent for very serious forensic examination. Four priests who had serious allegations against them. That was regarded by the report later on as a very constructive initiative between Bishop McGee and myself. In every part of those, especially in Cloyne, there is at least one person who has been trained and will be retrained in doing child protection. For example, I you know, set it up myself, but I went to a sacristy one morning at confirmations. And when I came in, the place was full of people. There were servers around, there were priests around, there were sacristans and so on. But there was a lady, middle-aged lady, sitting in the corner over in the chair. So I said to myself, she must have got sick. I said, did you get sick? I said, can I get you a glass of water? Oh, no, said she, I'm the child protection representative. Would you kindly sign your name on the book like everyone else over there? So that's the strictness with which that happens, that everybody, from the bishop down, has to sign themselves in to everything inside in a sacristy. Every priest in the Diocese of Cloyne is what they call vetted, that is pronounced fit for being with children, because there's no allegation against him going into his past in the 10 addresses he might have been in. And these people are very loyal. And in many ways, in spite of the scandals, they've stayed loyal. They're sticking with their posts, and they are our greatest, I suppose, support. Now, it's very difficult for a priest as delegate, because a priest as delegate has to go out maybe when an allegation is made against one of his comrades, one of his colleagues, and say, look, you have to step down now from ministry. You can't say the evening mass this Saturday. You're out of ministry. Whereas we have now put in a layman who is an experienced social worker, has worked as social services health executive. Now, his name is Bill Maher. Now, he runs that. And people who are abused have more confidence in him, because priests have lost their confidence to a large extent. And he has credibility, as has Ian Elliott, who is he runs the national board. It was he first drew attention to the deficiencies of the Diocese of Cloyne. He came down there and they tried to put him off. They didn't see him as having any right to come in and look for their files. And they didn't give him the files. And eventually he did a kind of a survey, a report of his own, which was very damning to the Diocese of Cloyne. So then the government decided to do this investigation of the diocese, which ended up after a long time, 2.5 years, came out yesterday, and it is very damning of the failure of the bishop and his delegate, Monsignor Callaghan, to put into effect the protocols, the rules, the guidelines we ourselves signed up to in 1996. And what's very scandalising to everybody is that this is a very modern thing. Like, there were historic cases back to the 1930s. But these allegations came in. Doesn't mean that the crimes committed were within the 1996 to 2008, which was Bishop McGee's years in the diocese. But they were reported within that time, and they weren't reported to the civil authorities. That would be the Gardaí, the police, and to the social services, or HSE as we call them. And some of the blame now is put on a letter which came from the Congregation for Clergy in 1997. When the bishops approved of these in 1996, after a lot of study and contributions from all sides, they sent them out to the Congregation for Clergy for the recognitio. And they got back a letter saying that these were not a document of the Irish hierarchy. They were just a study document. And this is being brought up now. And this gave Monsignor O'Callaghan a good reason for saying, I don't accept what the bishop signed up to. I have a different way of doing things. And he talked about having a pastoral strategy, which the diocesan solicitor gave him, namely to give counselling, kindness and so on to people who came to make allegations. But the commission said yesterday that these would be a good adjunct, but the more important thing was that it would be reported, mandatory reporting to the police, the Gardaí, and to the health board. With the result that for the years between 2000 and between 1996 and 2008, they had very little, they didn't report very much at all to anybody. And of course, they're condemned roundly now for that. Very sadly.
Archbishop Clifford, would it be correct to say then it wasn't only their failure to report the cases or allegations of sex abuse to the police, to the health authorities, yeah, but also to their brother bishops and also to Rome?
Well, certainly you don't report your brother bishops. You report to the organisation we set up. It's called the National Board for Child Safeguarding. They didn't report to them either. And of course, they didn't tell anything to Rome. Mental reservation and maybe lies. And that really, I think, is about one of the worst, parts of this whole report.
In fact, it was underlined by the commissioner of the report, Judge Yvonne Murphy, who said the greatest failure was the failure to report these allegations to the statutory authorities, but also the cover-up on the lies. Archbishop Clifford, moving on, where do we go from here? This is the fourth report into allegations or cases of abuse in the church in Ireland. Cardinal Brady described it as another dark, dark day. You're the apostolic administrator now of this diocese. It's a difficult job for you to try and restore any confidence in the priests and indeed in your own role as an apostolic administrator, as bishop of this, to this diocese. We all know that clerical culture has been embedded in the Church of Ireland. Are we getting any closer to removing that clerical culture, the culture of see no evil, hear no evil, tell no evil?
Well, I think we are. I think most dioceses, in my honest opinion, for a long time have been carrying out those guidelines, and the national office, there's a man called Mystery and Elity, he's a Presbyterian. He says that all reports, all bishops are now reporting allegations to the civil authorities. So he's quite clear that is the case, and every diocese has people out there, good, honest to God lay people. We're vigilant, we're trained and retrained, and it will be very hard now for a paedophile to manage to get access to children. That's the real, on the ground is where the action is. And I think certainly in Clyne, and I'm sure everywhere else as well, Cashel here, there's a committee who manage and audit and look after the various parishes to make sure that the notices are up in the sacristies, that the books are in the sacristies for everybody to sign in, and that any church function or any church activity, anybody in it is guard investigated, so that there's no record anywhere where they lived that they have ever had anything to do by way of interference with children. So there's a whole very strong structure in place. And this is a rather unusual event, because we had a man here, Monsignor O'Callaghan. He had been a professor in Maynooth of canon law and moral theology. And he thought that he knew better than the bishops. And he felt he had a better way, which he called the pastoral way, which really provided counselling and kindness. But the other aspect was, I suppose, more important, certainly more important in the eyes of the commission. And his pastoral thing was fine, in addition to doing the reporting and giving the proper investigators access to the people and giving the information needed to actually investigate the cases which came up. But I'd be confident, to be quite honest with you, every priest in his own parish is respected. They're all feeling sad at the moment, but I've no doubt that the people will be coming up during this weekend and saying, look, we know you're suffering. We're all suffering, but we're behind you. And I've no doubt at all that the great majority of our faithful will support the priests, especially now in Clyne at the moment. Obviously, there will be young people who haven't gone to Mass since their confirmation, and they'll be put off. And there are some older people who have left their weekly Mass attendance. Some of them might have left anyway, but it's a fairly good excuse to leave, because look at what the priests are doing. But it's a small minority of priests. It's something like 19 priests over. This goes back to the 1930s. There's a perception about that 19 priests abused children between 1996 and 2008. That is absolutely incorrect. 19 priests abused, if they did at all, back in the 60s, 70s and 80s. But the allegations were made by adult people during the period of 1996-2008. Very few, as far as I can see, abuses occurred within that particular framework. But the perception is out that all this happened. They say, this is so recent. Well, it's the reporting that is recent. The abuses went back 20, 30, 40 years. And I'd be anxious to correct that. But I'm confident because we have a system structure in the moment that will, I believe, that it will go as close as being humanly possible to guarantee the safety of children. Diocese of Clyne, and I think every other diocese, has been endeavouring to do the same thing.
Archbishop Clifford, the Irish media moves at a faster pace than most, and indeed the Irish government, which is a very different government to the government when the Ryan reports and Murphy reports were published in 2009 and the Ferns report was published in 2005, have already come out and said they're going to push through draft legislation that will criminalise the non-reporting of any form of abuse to statutory authorities.
It is interesting that it's only now. This is 2011. We brought in mandatory reporting in 1996. It's only now the government is getting around to it. It will produce huge problems for families, husbands and wives, children. Now, the confessional was mentioned today. I would want to see the actual draft regulation, the draft actually of the law before commenting on it. But the argument that state law supersedes a seal of confession would be a problem to me. And I would think myself that a priest will go to jail rather than reveal what's told him in confession.
Repentance, renewal, healing, these have become catchphrases.
Yes.
We've spoken about it, but I do know that the Irish Church, and I do know that your own diocese, are actually putting it into practice. You've held so many ceremonies.
We had one here in Cashel. We had the visitators, as they called it, here in the month of January and February. And we had a lovely ceremony. There was a very, very, very good one in Dublin, arranged by survivors themselves. And we're going to have more of those, where we will give the survivors, an opportunity to come and be part of healing ceremonies. That there are lots of there was a proposal yesterday at our press conference. It comes from America. A lot of survivors would like to confront the people who abuse them. Now, the people who would be survivors might be in their 40s or 50s. The people who abuse them might be in their 70s or 80s. But to come together and in facilitated fashion tell each other where they are and maybe give the perpetrator a chance to say, sorry, forgive me, and give the other person a chance to move on. Now, that's going to be pioneered here probably before the beginning of next year. Now, that would be well worth experimenting with. It wouldn't be like a Jerry Springer show, if you've ever seen one, where they tear into each other. It would have to be very carefully prepared for, monitored, and facilitated. But it's one of the things in America they feel it's the ultimate in getting what you might call closure, forgiveness, and healing. That's one thing. And of course, we will have to have. We're having a renewal program anyway, with the Pope's letter, and we also are preparing here now for the Eucharistic Congress. So these are all opportunities to make ourselves a more humble church, receiving victims, survivors, and cherishing them, helping them everywhere we can.
You're listening to Vatican Radio.